Warning: The Mended Futures podcast contains stories told by guests that may be sensitive to some people. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed by guests do not reflect the views of the hosts and/or producers of this podcast.
Taylor, I love the conversation we just had with Liz.
Yes.
From 518. Mm-hmm. I hope the listeners can feel it because Liz is so warm and genuine and authentic.
Mm-hmm. And just easy to talk to. Like, we've done so many of these episodes at this point, and like, I've loved every guest and it's been fantastic, but I've never felt more just like relaxed and like we're having just like a normal conversation without microphones and lights in here. Right.
So Liz talks to us about her role as a donor care
coordinator.
Mm-hmm. She's in donor care. Mm-hmm. But really, there were some tangible takeaways that everyone can implement.
Absolutely.
As far as how to have more meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. So
we love her and we hope you do too.
Yes.
Hope you enjoy.
So tell the people, who are you, Liz?
Oh my gosh. So my name is Liz Mahan, and I have the honor of serving as the donor care coordinator for 518. I can get in a little bit of like what my role is, if we feel that.
And I feel like in honor and memory of our good friend Claudia, you need to answer it the way that Claudia would want you to answer it. So don't just answer who you are at 518.
You're so right.
Answer who you are
personally
in all your circles. So go deep into who you are.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. We will honor Claudia. Yeah, I would say outside of work and even in my work and what I do, I strive to be an encourager and someone who speaks life and love into people. That's something that I'm very passionate about. And I just want others to feel seen and heard. So that's something that I really love. And that's something I try to do in my role, outside my role, in my relationship. So I think that answer would make Claudia proud. Yes.
Totally.
And I say slay a lot. Yes. I think that's part of my personality as well. Yes. That's who I am.
She taught Claudia slay. Yes. And Claudia really took it on for herself.
She latched on. And now a lot of SLT says slay. And I'm like, you know
that's
what?
A huge
We're
thing.
Spreading the good news right here.
So are you Gen Z?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, Gen Z.
So you're like a Gen Z slang ambassador.
You know what? I will take it.
As well as Taylor.
Well, I'll take it.
It's been fun, like, as they've hired like more people like our age, there have been like Gen Z things that have like transcended into like the entire organization. So now like SLT greets us all with like these waves. And like we've started applauding when people walk in the room.
They'll say bestie.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's great.
Yeah.
Yes. Best vibes ever.
It's so fun.
So I've gotten to know you over the last year. Yeah. How long have you worked with 518?
Next month it'll be a year.
Okay.
Which is wild.
Yes.
Which is so wild. I feel like it's been like 12 years, but also 2 seconds.
Seriously.
Yes.
Which is great.
And some of that is working in community work and nonprofits where it feels like light years, but it also feels like you've been here for a decade.
Actually, yes.
And I want to validate what you just said about yourself. I feel that from you.
Same.
Thank you, friend.
Yes. You are warm and you are genuine. So I think you're the perfect person to be that connector with people who want to make a difference.
Thank you. So sweet.
I want to go back to the horse book because I'm so excited and I'm obsessed with it.
The grand reveal.
But I feel like it just says a lot about like your childhood self and like becoming your adult self, like the level of whimsy that you have. Like,
so much.
So would you do us the honor? Allison has never seen the horse book before.
Y'all are in
for a treat.
We're
gonna get her reaction live.
So can you give the background of what we're getting ready to see?
I think context is important.
Yes.
So growing up, I was like diehard horse girl. Like I used to like gallop around at recess by myself and like neigh at people. It was crazy.
Do you know there are clubs that you can join to race stick horses?
I think I need to do this.
Yes.
I am trying to find more hobbies.
Maybe you could start a local one.
Like a league.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we'll work on it.
We love an extracurricular.
Yes.
So good. Okay. Yes. So that's the context. The horse book developed out of, it was an event in third grade called Buckaroo Day. Because we were learning about, like, the Wild West, and my eyes glazed over, and I was like, this is the best day of my life, for real.
This is everything to me.
So I had a little sheriff's badge that said Lasso and Lizzie. Yes. I was so excited. I bought, like, I used to ride horses, so I brought in, like, my little horse bridle thing, little cowboy boots. Like, I was in the zone, locked in, best day of my life. And then one of our projects was, like, a research project. So then we had to do, like, something creative with research. And
where did you grow up to have Buckaroo Day?
Literally Pennsylvania, right outside of Philly.
Yeah.
We were not in a rural area.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So I don't know.
Urban,
I don't know.
You get
urban
some of
cowboys
everything in Pennsylvania.
And girls.
No, truly. Yeah. Truly.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, whenever you'd like to reveal the product. Okay.
If your eyes, well, if you're not able to see because you're listening to
if
the podcast.
If you're listening, go on YouTube and get to this part.
Or just like close your eyes and imagine the best thing ever. Yeah. And then that's what it is.
Okay, right. So we'll break it out.
Here it is.
How old is this book?
I was like, what was I, like eight?
Yes.
This is my horse book.
Isn't it amazing?
And I'm 25 now, so whatever that is.
Yeah.
Can you hold it up?
17.
To where,
yeah,
oh,
put
wow.
it just in front of your face.
So it is
so
a
beautiful.
Leather horse head.
It's like a suede moment. It has some yarn as the main little bridle.
Yeah.
This would like keep the book together.
And guys,
and
the entire book
in.
Is in the shape of a horse's head.
It really
head.
Is.
This is so. Better than what I was expecting.
Right?
Like,
thank
this
you.
Exceeds the expectations.
The first time I saw it, my jaw was on the floor.
I was cooking in third grade. Like, yeah. I think I peaked right here.
Seriously? Okay.
And then if we remove the little bridle, then I, like, dyed the pages with, like, Lasso and Lizzie. That was my name tag. I forgot I had this
okay.
in here.
So did
then,
you dye it with tea or tea
yes,
leaves?
Yeah.
Look
with little
you.
Tea bags and
so
stamped
good.
It. And then there's like little drawings in there as well. I don't know where the cameras are.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's okay. some lore about Liz.
That's
and
amazing.
It's my favorite thing ever about myself. Yeah. I love to like, I think it's funny to like laugh at my younger self and be like, wow, what was she doing?
Yeah. And she's amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
But also I think it's like really sweet because like I have such a tendency to like judge myself and I don't know, like I can really judge like my hobbies or things I'm passionate about, but I'm like, this girl, she was not feeling any shame.
No.
So I think it's really cool.
She was all in.
She really was. She popped off. I was working hard. So I kind of love this. I think this should be like, if
that's
I ever had
thing.
Like a little museum,
okay.
this would be in my museum.
Well, this is not the first nonprofit that you've worked for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about like your heart for nonprofits and where that came from.
Yeah, sure. So I feel like it kind of started like back in college. I went to school. I went to Liberty. And my senior year of college, I had that crisis that I think everyone has where it's like, what the heck am I doing? And my senior year, I started working for YWCA Central Virginia. And in there, I worked for the fundraising bridal salon there, Church Street Bridal.
That's where I've seen you before.
Yeah, I was really
How did
up
I
in
not
there.
Know that about you?
Yeah, I worked there for just about 3 years.
Okay.
And like, isn't
loved
Liz
it.
The person you want helping you when you're trying on wedding dresses?
Galloping.
No, truly. I was like, I got
Lasso.
The dress for you gallops to
yes.
them. It's like perfect delivery.
Lassoing Lizzie?
Like, give me a carrot. And
no, literally.
Right.
I'm like lassoing the veil. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so that really grabbed my heart. I thought I wanted to go into ministry initially, and that's what I went to school for.
Mm-hmm.
But senior year, and I feel like nonprofits kind of are their own ministry in a way.
Totally.
But nonprofits really grabbed my heart. So started working there. Loved it. I loved so much. And I think this is really cool in the nonprofit space that you can be so intentional and you can use that as a ministry and encourage other people as well. So speak into who they are, whether you're like boots on the ground or you're working more behind the scenes, like what I was doing in fundraising or what I do here more behind the scenes, but just making people feel cared for. So
I can
love that.
You tell the listeners a little bit more, because the YWCA is a national organization.
It is. Yeah.
Also a Vision 30 partner.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the place along the river, you know, keeping children safe, making families stronger, the YWCA really plays a part in that. So talk a little bit about what that is mm-hmm. and what your job was at the bridal salon
yeah.
and how that fits in. I know yeah. that doesn't have anything to do with your job now,
no,
but I feel like we could shout out a partner.
No, truly. Love the YWCA. They are powerhouses for real. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they focus a lot on helping women in domestic violence or sexual assault situations. Mm-hmm. They're incredible. I love what they do, the resources that they provide. They also provide safe housing. It's just great. I love them so much. So what I did on the back end was the fundraising. So Church Street Bridal exists. So then all the funds produced from the bridal salon go directly towards the program. Mm-hmm. So all the dresses that are there, they're donated sample dresses from, like, I think when I was there, 50 plus bridal salons, including Kleinfeld Bridal, which is on Say Yes to the Dress.
No way.
Oh. It was crazy. When I was there, I got to go and walk around. I was like, this is the most magical moment of my life.
Where are the yeah. TLC cameras?
No, truly. I was like, where's Randy Finoli? Like,
yes.
Where is he? But that was really cool. So they're all donated sample dresses, and then all the proceeds go back to YWCA. So people loved it because, like, they got a great deal, like, on dresses, because they, at the time, were, like, $900 and under. Mm-hmm. And they know they're helping other people, too. So I think that's also a really cool thing in fundraising, is you get to see people's generosity and, like, how their faces light up when they know they're making an impact and speaking mm-hmm. into that. So really
and
cool.
I thank you for going into that a little bit deeper yeah. because I do think it's important for people to know in our region, fundraising looks different depending yeah. on the organization, but yeah. there are some amazing partners who are collaborating mm-hmm. or operating forward facing
yeah.
what seems like a retail environment mm-hmm. in order to pour into the nonprofit space.
Yeah,
so I think that
for sure.
is a really unique and special, you know, opportunity.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, truly.
In order to run that. I mean, it's running a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I feel like it gave me a lot of great experience and a lot of things that I apply here too mm-hmm. of seeing people and mm-hmm. not making them feel like an ATM. That's not my heart yeah. at all, because mm-hmm. I do donor relation things. It's like honoring their generosity as well. So I got to do that at Church Street Bridal and also doing that here. And it's such a gift. And mm-hmm. it gives so much hope to me, because I think it's so easy to be mm-hmm. so discouraged looking out in the world and you see things in the news. But it's like, no, people right here in our community are mm-hmm. so generous and yeah. so kind and do want to make an impact. So I feel like fundraising, working in it, is such a gift, because you get to see those encouragements every day of, like, mm-hmm. people are so kind. People are yeah. great, you know? Yeah. So.
I'm going to throw a question at you that we haven't, you know, prepared you for necessarily.
Okay.
I'm curious, like, because you're within your first year working here, mm-hmm. and it sounds like this is maybe your first sort of interaction with the family welfare space.
Yeah.
So what have you learned? Like, what has it been like to sort of be entered into this space?
Yeah. When you were asking that, the first thing that came to my mind was the power of preventative services. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of nonprofits, and, like, this is good too. This mm-hmm. is absolutely necessary, but I think a lot of nonprofits sometimes are having to be more reactionary. I don't know if that's the mm-hmm. right word, but that's mm-hmm. what I would describe it as.
Intervening.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you definitely need that 100%. But the power of prevention is so important. And just even thinking of the impact of when we had the Boys and Girls Home, and we were impacting not, like, a good amount of people, mm-hmm. but, like, not a ton. And now it's like we have, like, a comma in those numbers
yeah,
now. And, like, that's really cool.
More, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, like, my big takeaway working yeah. in the welfare space is, like, prevention is so important. Mm-hmm. So,
and looking cool. back, because I didn't know that the YWCA was part of your story,
mm-hmm.
that was preparing you for the child welfare space, because
yeah.
you were seeing the interventions
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
And you were seeing what happens when families are not safe
mm-hmm.
and strong.
Yeah.
So I love that. You know, you didn't think that's where you were
yeah.
going to go.
Yeah.
But it is your ministry and it is your heart.
Yeah.
And usually whatever career you have is the path towards what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I also learned and want to apply it here is honoring people's stories well, because people get so deep so fast. If it's like I'm on the phone with a donor thanking
mm-hmm.
them, they'll share about
yeah.
why they're passionate about, like, the mission, and they'll share about things that they've been through.
Mm.
And it's just the power of stories and people sharing those. So it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool space for sure.
That's awesome.
obviously you're here. We love that you're here. We want you to be here forever. Is there a like genre of nonprofit that you would be interested in going to?
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, working in past 518?
Yeah. I think, honestly, I loved the space so much of YWCA because I got to speak into women and encouraging them and just reminding them of, like, how great they are and, like, how beautiful they are inside and out. And that was so fulfilling for me, working specifically, like, with women. So I feel like that's something I can see myself doing, either, like, I always thought it would be really cool to like own my own business or like start a nonprofit. So maybe doing something like that. Or I'm honestly really falling in love with like the family services space. So maybe that would be something, you know, because family is so important and family is such a gift. And the health of a family is really the trajectory for a healthy human. So being in the space has really opened up my heart of like, wow, like family services are so important. Because I thought I was kind of on this path of like, okay, I'll always be in a space that like protects women and like works with women, builds them up, equips them, empowers them, all the above. But now I feel like there's a little bit of a shift of like my interests kind of broadening out. And I'm so excited about that.
That's cool.
I'm excited about that. Nice. So
has that come because I'm thinking about how I've evolved as a leader and usually my next step is zooming out a little bit and becoming more macro. So it, what you just described is, or you're going upstream a little bit, you're seeing prevention. Has that changed as, you know, you're a wife now, you know, has that changed as things have changed in your life?
That's a good question. That honestly is. Okay.
Allison.
Yeah, I would say so. Just the importance of what family means. And it is so upstream. And I think, yeah, I don't know how to, I'm like processing that. Yeah, that's a really cool question. But yeah, I would say 100%. Yeah.
And you may not be able to answer that until you are a little bit older, you know, and I love that you said you were a senior and you had a crisis. And I'm thinking, well, you haven't even had your midlife crisis yet.
No, but actually,
maybe there are so many crises.
There are so many crises that you're going to have. And I don't like to call them that. I like to call them resets. But when you look back, you might see that you're trying to get more macro or some people zoom in more that there's a certain niche or nuance that they're the most interested in.
Yeah. And I think it's cool how we're all designed in different ways. You know, we all have different passions. And like you said, some people zoom in, some people zoom out. But it's like all of our gifts bring forward like health and healing. Yeah. So
we've been talking about and hearing you talk about, you know, how much you just love caring for others and helping people to feel seen and loved. I know traits like that often are just like, yeah, it's kind of just like who I am. It's always been who I am. But is there like an experience you can point to or like a season you can point to where it was like that sort of built up that in you? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think for so long in my life, I didn't want people to necessarily see like the vulnerable side of me. I feel like my entire life I've tried so hard to prove myself and like just be good at everything and be a perfectionist and be like, I don't even know, like trying to just be excellent at everything and pushing myself so hard. So it was like, please don't see that I'm a human being and that I mess up and I'm actually really scared. So I think it's come out of that, honestly, is the power of vulnerability and the power of seeing people and saying like, you're not perfect and I still love you. Because that's what God says about us, you know, and it's like, we don't have to be upholding all of these things to still be loved. So speaking into that, because that's something I've struggled so much with, just being content of, yes, I'm a human being and I'm loved. And it's like, I feel like there's so much pressure with social media and comparison and different things to feel like you have to have it all together and present yourself that way. But just the power of saying, I don't have it together. I know you don't either. And we're here. So I think that's the first thing that came to mind when you asked that is just like, that's always been a struggle of mine of like, please only see my accomplishments. Don't see that I'm actually really anxious. But yeah, just speaking worth into people of like, no, you're worthy too, you know?
I'm just over here thinking about the fact that you choose fundraising because fundraising is so daunting to me and you do it with such an authentic, caring wanting to hear people's stories. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you in action at Coffee Connections, and mm-hmm. I've seen you in action, and you don't lead with give me all your money.
Yeah.
You lead you lead with what are you interested in?
Yeah.
Or tell me more about your story. Mm-hmm. And you're really setting the table for people to be able to come into conversations. Mm-hmm. You're inviting people in, and you're giving people the opportunity to be a part of something that's bigger mm-hmm. than themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really beautiful way to look at fundraising.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, I'm so thankful for the way that this organization approaches fundraising, because it's not, hey, give me your money and be an ATM. It's like, how can we honor the generosity you have, whether financially, whether giftedness, whether time and volunteering? And I love what I get to do in my role, because it honestly feels kind of like hospitality in fundraising, because I'm like the donor care coordinator. Mm-hmm. So it's really honoring people's generosity and appreciating them for that mm-hmm. and connecting with them. Like, I get to have the coolest conversations mm-hmm. because, and I kind of view that as like an avenue that I get to connect with people on a deeper mm-hmm. level. It's mm-hmm. not just like, thanks for your money. It's like, thank you for believing in our mission. Like, why do you believe in our mission mm-hmm. and what drives you in that way? So, because I think everyone wants to feel seen, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I just want to be intentional with that.
Totally.
And I feel like the old lady in the room right now, but we were talking, and we've talked many times. Mm. You all are Generation Z, and mm-hmm. I'm really protective of young people.
Yeah.
And I think that you all have so much to offer the other generations. And as of this spring, you're not the youngest generation in the workforce. The alphas mm-hmm. can start working this year. So you're going to...
Wait, that's wild.
Yes, graduate. Yes.
But I do think it's really important to focus on what you all can teach older generations and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And what I've watched you do over the last year is some old-fashioned communication. And I always think of Taylor talking about, you didn't want to go into communications because of social media,
right?
You wanted to go into it because of the written word.
Yeah.
And I've watched some of your giftings be more old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So I think you all might be showing us the value of going back to some things that were more old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You write some of the best thank you notes. Yes. And there's something to getting something that's handwritten.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting because I have conscious memory of when like technology wasn't like the main mm-hmm. source of entertainment mm-hmm. or the main source of communication, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you?
I do. I really do. Isn't that shocking?
Yeah.
But because like we have those conscious memories, that means that like all of the technological stuff like is conscious memory as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we have like the ratio of time has allowed us to sort of measure both against the other, because like the ages that we were when these technological advancements were coming about, like I feel like we more naturally gravitated toward it and more naturally learned it and like became familiar with it very quickly, so that it's like, and I'm not going to speak for an entire generation because that's just like insane. But like the people that I know and the people that I'm close to, it's like we've been able to kind of see like, these are the resources that have been like available to us. But it doesn't mean it's like the best overarching thing in every aspect of life. You know, like
truly.
Nothing is going to replace a one-on-one in-person conversation. Mm-hmm. Nothing's
going to replace a coffee conversation.
Yeah,
exactly.
Truly.
Like a letter is going to be more impactful and special than a text. Like that's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like for me, it slows me down a little bit, because it's like I could shoot off this email like, thanks so much, blah, blah, blah. But actually sitting down, writing out a card, I think slows me down and makes me really think like, I don't know. I think just we're moving so fast as people that it helps slow me down. But then also it's like the intentionality behind it of someone getting a handwritten card. Like, how often do you get a handwritten card? So the fact that I just get to like do that is like so fun. But yeah, like you said, I think there's such a connectedness in like the one-on-one or the face-to-face or handwritten card that social media or an email can't do.
And I don't know, I like to think about communication styles and generational differences, and I am disruptive You know, when I think of the type of personality I have, I'm disruptive. Disruptive doesn't always have to be bad.
Right.
I love that 518 disrupts for good because an email is really efficient. It's really flying under the radar.
But it's so easy to ignore.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You have to stop. And open a card and see someone's handwriting and decipher it and think, wow, they took this amount of time to do that. You also make phone calls. And that is so unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, think of the last time that someone called you. I'll never forget coming to an event here a few years ago. And the next day I got a phone call. And I was so pleasantly surprised that it was not spam. It was not it was just so I encourage you to keep being disruptive for good because I think we're all on autopilot or we're all on, not all of us, but I have a harder time being in the moment. I'm always thinking about the future.
There's always something grabbing your attention, so it's so hard to realize when you're not slowing down.
Right.
Truly.
So I like that some of the ways that you appreciate your donors are disruptive in good ways.
Yeah, for sure. I receive that. I like that a lot. And we have a lot, like our donor base is mostly, I'll say, more mature people.
Yeah.
But it's just led to the coolest conversations and I get to hear people's stories or get advice or tearfully have a conversation that they just lost someone, like just different things. And it's such a gift. So I think the phone calls is a really cool thing that I get to do.
Can you tell us some advice from a mature donor? So if you call and you disrupt them for good, what kind of nuggets are they dropping for you?
Or like an impactful story that you feel comfortable sharing.
Ooh, impactful story. I'll keep it like, what's the word? Anonymous. But I got to talk with a donor recently who's the sweetest angel ever. We've gotten to like really connect. And she just shared her life story about things that she's been through with her family and just the way that she's been through such hard things. And she's in her 80s now and she's been through such hard things. But she keeps circling back to like, but God sustains me and God is good. And just kept circling back to that. And I was like, oh, my word. Like I get so caught up in how hard my life can be, or I'm going through this thing, or I'm just like hopping from one thing to be anxious about to the next. But it's like, I can sit in like, but God is still good. So I think that's been such an encouragement, is just hearing her and other people just really circle back to how the Lord sustains them. And they see that tangibly. They're like, I see the Lord working in that. Or because they're a little bit older, it's like they've seen like the purpose behind things that they've gone through. When I feel like, because we're a little bit younger, we've gone through hard things, but maybe we aren't necessarily seeing the fruits of that yet, but they have seen it. And that's really encouraging too. So it's like, if you're going in through something or in the middle of something and you're like, what is the purpose of this? But having donors be like, yeah, and this is why, and I can tangibly point to it. That's so cool. That's really, really cool.
And I think it is so neat that the title of this podcast is Mended Futures, and so many of the donors are products of Mended Futures.
Truly.
Of the ways that they want to minister or be a part of this movement is through mending the futures of the next generation.
Absolutely.
So when I think about your more mature donors, my grandfather would have fit into that mold, you know, orphaned as an adolescent boy. And when he had money to donate, or when he had resources to donate, he chooses a ministry. He chooses a nonprofit like the former Patrick Henry, now 518. So I think so many of your donors have a story to tell.
Truly.
And they may not have always had an audience to tell it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which I think is so cool. And again, it circles back to the slowing down of like, okay, I'll have like a list of people to call for the day who recently donated. And, you know, it could be like voicemail, voicemail, and I'm flying through, but it's like, I get to have like a 20-minute conversation with someone. And I think that's so powerful for sure. Cause they just like want to share and they want to tell their story and share wisdom and how the Lord's working in their life or things that they've been through. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's such a gift.
I got the chance to listen to a call that Liz had recorded for us so that we could then use it for a written story for the Orator, the 518 magazine.
Yeah.
And I like was smiling as I was listening to it because Liz calls and the woman answers the phone and like Liz immediately is like asking about, you know, the woman's daughter or like what they talked about the last time they chatted. It's like, this is like a full relationship that's happening here. Like I didn't expect that. Yeah. Like I've never done like donor care. I've never done donor relations. So I don't know what a phone call looks like, but I was so like refreshed to be like, oh my gosh, like these people have a rapport. Like that's so cool.
No, it's truly such a gift. I feel like I have so many adopted like grandparents and moms and dads. And I'm like, this is just great. Like so good.
Hey friends, let's talk about Real Impact. Imagine a single mom struggling to keep her family together or a child sleeping on the floor because they don't have a bed. Now imagine you being able to meet that need. That's exactly what happens every day through Care Portal.
Care Portal is a platform that connects real-time needs from local children and families to people like you, churches and individuals who want to make a difference. With just a few clicks, you can step in, meet a need, and build a meaningful connection that changes lives.
This isn't just charity. It's the church and the community coming together, showing up in love and action. So if you're ready to turn compassion into action, visit careportal.org and see how you can be a part of the movement, because connection changes everything.
Visit careportal.org for more information on how to sign up and start meeting the needs of children and families in your own zip code. Once again, that's careportal.org.
Thank you, Care Portal, for sponsoring the Mended Futures podcast. So going off script a little bit, what about the not so mature donors? Are you seeing any trends? Or are you seeing any, like, what would you say? Because if we want to talk about generations, I'm either a really young X or a really old millennial. So I'm a true Xennial. And my generation, I would say for the most part, we don't have a lot of expendable funds, but I can give modestly. And I do sometimes. What would you say to people like me who don't have a lot to give?
Yeah, I would say something I've noticed with like your generation and even like our generation, Gen Z, like Taylor and I, something I've seen is like, okay, if you don't have expendable funds, like you can't donate necessarily financially. A lot of people in, I feel like our age groups are very passionate about volunteering because it's like boots on the ground, like I'm helping with fill in the blank, and people really connect to that. So that's something I've seen with like younger crowds is like, okay, I feel like as we get older and move into maybe having more capacity to give financially, sure, like we'll do that. But I see such a heart for how do I get involved like tangibly? And I think that's so encouraging too, because I feel like there's a stereotype, especially with Gen Z, where it's like all we want to do is like be on our phones. And it's like, no, there's people that are serving that are my age.
So cause-driven.
Yes, and passionate. And they want to help out. And they want to be mentors with our family care program or things like that.
Yeah, mentoring is huge.
Huge. So, and I think it's really cool for younger people like our ages to be put in a position where it's like now we can pour into a generation. Because I feel like we've gotten to soak things up because we're used to being the babies of things. But it's like now we get to turn around and say, okay, here's some wisdom for you. So I think it's been so encouraging to see people really interested in volunteering. Yeah. So
Allison, do you feel like if someone pitches like someone around your age to like what we really need now is mentors, like what would that pitch sort of look like effectively, you know? Because I know that time is also precious.
That is fair.
So in this season, and I talk about seasons a lot, I'm raising adolescents and my evenings are booked. I think when you're talking to people whatever age they are, give non-traditional time slots.
Yeah.
I always think about the power of lunch.
No, truly.
Interesting.
We all should eat lunch.
Yeah.
We all crave some of us more than others, crave fellowship. Mm-hmm. We crave conversation. Mm-hmm. We crave coming to the table. And I don't know if we're capitalizing on the breakfast and lunch opportunities. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody from a local nonprofit who they need reading buddies or they need mm-hmm. mentors, and they need about 45 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. And I think of all the folks who are sitting in their cars mm-hmm. eating, I call it sad lunch. Like, we're just eating by ourselves. We're mm-hmm. on autopilot. We're eating in front of a keyboard. Yep. We're not eating. Mm-hmm. And we're hyper productive and working through lunch. Mm-hmm. So I really think, and you all are really good at this, but I really think, ask, when do you have availability?
Yeah.
How much? I was sitting with a couple of folks yesterday in a nonprofit collaboration, mm-hmm. and one of the ladies said, I can't believe you all would give up a couple of hours of your time. And I'm thinking, I can't believe other people wouldn't give up a couple of hours of their time. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying you, but I'm giving you my time.
Yeah.
And in some ways, that's more valuable than stroking a check. I mean, there's
you need all of it.
Yeah. There's a beauty to all of it.
Yeah.
So I would just really listen mm-hmm. and I'm not sure after a global pandemic if you really have a box anymore, but think outside of the box for the time that people could give.
That's good advice.
I do think that people need to hear that it's not about the amount that you can give.
Oh my gosh,
So when you think about some services that are being offered, 518 mm-hmm. has evolved from a group home setting, mm-hmm. serving 100 people or less mm-hmm. a year, very intervention focused, now to camps mm-hmm. for kids, trauma-based resources mm-hmm. for community members. I mean, we could go on and on and on, mm-hmm. a sliding scale for counseling.
Yeah.
So I think people need to know, even if you can only get $5, mm-hmm. if you want to give something, mm-hmm. give something or anything.
Absolutely.
Because $5 or $10 mm-hmm. could be a portion of a counseling session.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
how do you help donors understand, you know, I can't give something mm-hmm. with a comma.
Yeah.
But whatever I give mm-hmm. is impactful.
Yeah. I think because sometimes I'll be on the phone with people and they'll say like, oh, I wish I could give more. Or, I'm sorry. And I think it's pointing to the heart mm-hmm. of it. Like, I'll always remind them, but like, no, but your generosity, it says so much about who you are, and anything that you give is so appreciated. So I think speaking into that, and also the importance of treating every donor. I mean, people have preferences and things, but treating everyone the same at the level of like, but you're being so generous right now, whether mm-hmm. it has a comma or it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's like, but your generosity is honored. So I think that that's so important, is speaking into like, no, but your heart is seen, and like mm-hmm. we can do so much with what you think is so little, you mm-hmm. know? And like, that's how the Lord works too. Like we think that there's like nothing to offer or whatever, but he did a lot.
He can multiply
fishes and loaves, you know?
Exactly.
So.
I do think that's really important. And
truly.
I think about, you know, how much money do we waste on a coffee? Mm-hmm. And it's not waste. Like, that's very necessary. Mm-hmm. But how much money do we spend on a coffee a day? Mm-hmm. Or we go into the convenience store and we get snacks. Mm-hmm. Or we buy nail polish. Or we buy press-on nails or whatever people mm-hmm. in this room buy. Mm-hmm. The equivalent of those things.
Yeah, like these three coffees could be a counseling session.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that a lot of folks are intimidated mm-hmm. by, I'm not sure I can give enough, or I can only give an hour a week, mm-hmm. or I could only do this a month.
Yeah.
I think we have to understand that whatever we give mm-hmm. is honored.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's valuable.
And you're giving to something bigger than yourself. I think it's so intimidating to think like, okay, I got $5. I don't know what to do with this. But it's, you're putting that investment into something that's bigger than yourself and pushing it forward. So mm-hmm. it might not feel like a lot, but a lot of people giving even a little adds up to a lot, mm-hmm. you know? So
totally.
That's kind of how I would approach it, I would say.
That's awesome. How do you approach the people that you call or interact with that like aren't so ready to share or be involved? Mm-hmm. You know, like what are sort of the stages that you kind of go through?
Yeah, I think kind of honoring that as well. Like, you don't want to push people into a corner and it's like, tell me your story right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, they might not want to do that. You know, mm-hmm. they might be in a rush, like hopping and like picking up their kids, and they have 2 seconds to talk. And like, mm-hmm. that's fine too. But I think kind of it's like snowballing it of like, okay, I had a 30-second phone call with you because that's what you wanted and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But then writing them a card or doing, hey, I thought of you because you're local in this area and we're having a coffee connections in your area or something like that. But not forcing them into a position that they don't want to be in. Because mm-hmm. some people, they just, and this is so okay, want to write a check and they're like, okay, I'm good. Like, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need the relationship and that's okay. But I think treating every donor with the same, like, you have so much inherent value, but also I'm going to meet you where you're at because mm-hmm. you might not want that.
The level of engagement that they want.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, it's totally. Very donor-led. Yes. It's not me that's trying cool. to force them into something because that's not cool. So, yeah, very donor-led, I would say.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we can kind of switch gears.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I consider you a good friend.
A good pal.
And I love you so very much.
Love you.
And I feel like every day you come into the office, you have like a new story of like something that like one of your good friends told you or something funny mm-hmm. that happened or mm-hmm. like you got to see so-and-so's kids and that was so like life-giving.
Yeah.
What impact have friendships and community made in your life?
Mm. I think like everything, and I don't want to get emotional, but I think what we preach here is like the power of meaningful relationships and having community and having friendships and having people in your life that love you unconditionally and are in it with you. But then also have the position and power to speak into your life when you're doing something that's not okay. Mm. Or, hey, you can actually grow in that area. Or like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have handled it that way. But the power of that too is so, so important. So I think the power of relationships is truly everything because that's how we're better. And that's what we were created for. Like, we were created for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having people up close enough to you to call you out, but also speak into your potential and call you higher, I think is so, so good. So it's such a gift. Like, I have such a good community here in Lynchburg. Like, I'm so blessed and have such good found family. And like, it's everything to me mm-hmm. for sure. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, being known and knowing others, I think, is one of the most beautiful things that, like, God gives us and we have in this life, truly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I have watched you do some beautiful warm handoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so important in this work
mm-hmm.
that change happens at the speed of trust.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You are connected mm-hmm. to people in this community.
Yeah.
And I can think of an example a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you need to know this person in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And another friend had said that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I knew.
Yeah.
I trust you.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed to know this other community leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched you be warm and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that's healing.
Truly, truly. Yeah. Because it kind of, like what I was saying earlier, everyone wants to feel seen. And sometimes that's so uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how I was saying, I grew up and even now I still struggle with like, ooh, please, like I'm going to build some walls here. Like, please don't
mm-hmm.
call me out or like, please don't see this thing that's imperfect. But there's so much power in that and vulnerability too. Because like I said, it calls us higher as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think that kind of alludes to the question of, are you the product of a mended future? Because
mm.
we asked that of all of our guests.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that is the title of the show. That
mm-hmm.
is essentially the theme of the show.
Right.
Are there any other ways that the Lord has sort of entered into your life specifically of like, you know, young Liz galloping around at recess, like
slaying life.
I don't know, just like different ways that the Lord has done some unexpected things in your life.
Yeah. I think I've been through a lot. Sorry.
You're good.
Yeah. I've been through a lot. And I think I see the Lord's kindness most tangibly in the people that I have here in Lynchburg and the people that I've made friends with and the people that, like, the man I married. And it's just, it's such a gift. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's how the Lord is mending my future. And I'm so encouraged by, like, what my kids will have because mm-hmm. of, like, the work that he's of the people that he's put in my life, the work that they've done in my life and the speaking into it and the healing that I've tried to pursue and the things that I'm going through and the things that I'm passionate about, like what their lives will look like mm-hmm. imperfectly, of course, because mm-hmm. I'm not perfect, but like a little bit further on like this road to freedom mm-hmm. and change and generational healing. So I'm so encouraged by that. Like, I was thinking of that question because I know y'all always ask it is like, mm-hmm. are you the product of a mended future? And I would say because of the people that I have in my life right now and the community that I have and the friends that I consider sisters and because of counseling and mm-hmm. my husband, like, I would say so. Like, we're getting there and yeah. we're getting to
your
a mended future.
Your future is being mended. Mm-hmm. mended.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just, like, the hope that, like, God gives and the hope that people give me mm-hmm. is such a gift. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited and very hopeful for, like, my future kids and, like, what their lives will look like yeah. is, like, 2% more free. Mm-hmm. So I'm mm-hmm. very excited about that. So that's probably awesome. What I would say, like, for yeah. that answer. For
I
sure.
love that. And knowing you and Camden, like, y'all are going to be the best parents.
Oh,
like,
I'm
those
so excited.
Kids are going to be so blessed.
They're going to be, like, the biggest nerds ever.
Yes, they're going to be so goofy.
No, truly, in a good way. The best.
Yeah. I do think that that's very affirming. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back and reiterate what you just said. Mm-hmm. There are people
yeah.
who are future menders.
Yeah.
And we all have the power to heal things about those in our village.
Yeah.
And I oftentimes, you know, coming from a K-12 background mm-hmm. where it was a public school environment,
mm-hmm.
but I could have been the closest thing to Jesus
truly
that some children had ever experienced.
Yeah.
So when we talk about being the church and we talk about the power of being a Christian, mm-hmm. oftentimes it's how we show up as the village.
Yeah.
And it's the place that we take along the river.
Mm-hmm.
So I doubt that a lot of your friends know that.
Mm-hmm.
That they are helping to mend your future
truly
and set your future children up for a better future.
Yeah.
But I think we should talk about things like that
yeah.
more with the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
We do a pretty good job after they pass away.
Yeah.
But I think yeah. it's important to make sure that we tell people, mm-hmm. you are such a huge part of my village.
Truly, mm-hmm. truly. And it might feel
weird.
Yeah, it might feel like the first word that uh-huh. came to mind was awkward. It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
it might
yeah.
feel like, okay. But it's like you don't want everything that's said nice about someone to be when they're gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how can I encourage you now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. just appreciate them well, for mm-hmm. sure.
No matter what I have, like, been going through in my life, I've, like, had a very high standard of, like, there is no reason why you can't celebrate someone else. Like, no matter what season you're in, like,
truly.
You can celebrate the people in your life if they're going through something mm-hmm. like that is worthy of being celebrated
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
just, like, their presence mm-hmm. in your life.
Absolutely.
So I just think that, like, that theme of celebration is tied into all
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
And going back to, you know, the whole reason we're talking about reconciliation here at 518.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about meaningful relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's meaningful to
yeah.
share something authentic.
Absolutely.
So if anybody walks away from this conversation, it may mm-hmm. be share
yeah.
what the people around you
let
are
them know.
Are doing.
No, mm-hmm. truly.
And I think the three of us, and we can cut out however much we want to, and we've mentioned Claudia a couple of
mm-hmm.
times. Claudia Fletcher was sitting on that couch
yeah.
not very long ago.
Yeah, for sure.
And I am so, so thankful
mm-hmm.
that we had some of those conversations.
I've thought about that so often.
Yes.
I am so, so thankful. And there
what
are still
gift.
Many things that I wish I had said to her.
Yeah.
But I think I said some things along the
you
way
did, yeah.
to where she knew what a huge impact she was making.
Absolutely.
But we don't. And especially, mm-hmm. you know, we wait until somebody gets to a milestone.
Right.
Yeah.
We celebrate
yeah.
50th anniversaries. Mm-hmm. We celebrate 80th birthdays. Mm-hmm. We celebrate, you know, so I would encourage us to say it on a Tuesday.
Right. No, truly.
You know,
truly.
Say it when they're 29. Mm-hmm. Say That's actually, it when they're, you know.
Yeah, it's funny that we're saying this because I just remembered Liz texted me a couple weeks ago. It was like a really crazy week. It was, I think, the week of the Impact event. And she was like, I just want you to know, like, listening to this podcast, like, the podcast has been such an encouragement. And, like, you specifically mm-hmm. has been such an encouragement. Mm-hmm. And like that, especially having that week, I was mm-hmm. like, thank you. Yeah. Like, that's so cool to know that like yeah. it's not landing on yeah. deaf ears, yeah. you know?
No, truly. Or like even the power of just like a simple text. I know we were talking about like how powerful it is to like handwrite a note or a one-on-one conversation,
but it's
like,
is great.
If you feel awkward, shoot a text of like, hey, it really meant a lot that XYZ. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what that does for that other person, you yeah, know, right. that could be so what they needed to hear, you right. know? So, yeah.
I'm really famous for, and those of you listening, you may not have taken an assessment called the Working Genius, mm-hmm. But we've talked about it a few times, and I'm not a natural galvanizer. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy because mm-hmm. I do it,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it may be why I'm so tired all the time.
Okay, yeah.
So it's interesting. Yeah. So when you talk about your working geniuses, mm-hmm. what gives you energy, what gives you joy, mm-hmm. Galvanizing is not one of those, but I do mm-hmm. it all the time.
Yeah.
And I will constantly text people in my circle. And if I can't figure out what I want to say to them, I'll mm-hmm. just say friend check. And I just yeah. want them to know, for some reason, I'm thinking about you that. Today.
No, truly.
And then I want you to say back to yeah. me. And I have so many people in mm-hmm. my circle. Somebody texted me this week, you've really been on my heart. Mm. So you don't even necessarily have to say something.
Yeah.
But just, hey, I'm thinking about you.
No, truly.
Or so I heard far. A song. Or
yeah.
I saw the nail polish.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. You know, I have a friend where we like back and forth. We'll just like every couple of days, we'll just text a random like old inside joke.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
And that's like our thinking about you. Like, right. Peace and love. Like, love you so much.
I love it. Yeah. One thing I try to do too, because I have like a really rough memory. I mm-hmm. just cannot remember anything. One thing I'll do is if I remember, like someone tells me like, oh, my spouse is starting a new job on Tuesday or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll like set a reminder. I'm like, that's hey, awesome. Siri, set a reminder on my phone for Tuesday. So it helps me. And it's like, I used to think like, hey, that's not like super like in the moment intentional. It's like, hey, but I set that reminder. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can remember to send that on Tuesday and mm-hmm. it be encouraging. So I think.
Yeah, you made that a part of your yeah. life. Yeah.
Or I just prayed for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's it's like huge. For listeners, I think it's so important to kind of find like what's your best way mm-hmm. of finding how you can be intentional and appreciate the people in your life. And it's like, do it. Like, run at it shamelessly, even if it feels gallop. Awkward.
Gallop.
Gallop. Gallop. Nay in their face. Like, make them a horse book.
Hit them an yeah. apple and a carrot.
Yes. It's going to be so good. But truly, like, what are ways you can love on the people in your life? Mm-hmm. Or just speak into a strength of, hey, you did really great in that meeting. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be, like, balloons and streamers. It can mm-hmm, just totally. Be, hey.
Yeah. But it should be. It should be more than good job. It should be more yes. than, you know, I'm really thinking about
it's details.
Yeah. yeah yes. High feedback. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it should be more than, you know, something, even if it's weird.
No, truly.
Or mm-hmm. if it's more vague than that.
Yeah.
Or just thinking about you, mm-hmm. praying for you,
yeah.
checking in. You know, I think we can do those on yeah. a regular basis and we can do them better.
Yeah.
So I love thinking about how to tell people who are a part of the village and who are on the river, you know, these things are meaningful. Truly. I have every handwritten note anybody's ever given me mm-hmm. ever,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
that Same. Didn't cost money.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it costs time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I also think the flip side is really important too. Like that's something that I've had to learn is like, it's okay to ask the people in your life to give you specific encouragement.
Oh, true.
Because there have been like very yeah. hard seasons where I'm like, hey, when you tell me you love me, I need evidence. Uh-huh. Like my brain needs yeah. something to grasp onto mm-hmm. to like fight all the other stuff that's mm-hmm. going on.
Yeah.
So like my college roommates, like they would say goodnight and they would say, mm-hmm. I love you. And mm-hmm. they would say like X, Y, Z, this uh-huh. is why. And it like it was very relational. Like it right. wasn't Precious. Like it wasn't a robotic like mm-hmm. I love you because blah, blah, blah. It was like, yeah. hi, I love you.
I
like
see you.
I want to see you, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah. yeah.
So I think it's important to be able to ask for it as mm-hmm. well.
one of my friends, speaking of like asking for something, one of like with my friend group will ask a lot, like, hey, like, what do you need to hear right now? If someone's very unwell or something, it's like, what do you need to hear that would be helpful? So I think that's also something that's good. If it's very easy to answer, I mean, not easy to answer that question. It's easy to ask that question. And then show up for that person. Because sometimes people don't necessarily know what to do when someone's not well or someone's going through something hard. It's like, do you just need to hear that you're going to survive this and make it through? Yeah. Like, because I can tell you that. Right. Now.
Just tell them something specific to latch on to.
Truly.
Right. Yeah.
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 This was awesome.
Love.
This was great.
Yes.
I love you.
I'm obsessed with you guys. This is so fun.
This has been the most like relaxed, chill.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah. And I love that we just gave the listeners something that they can take away. Mm-hmm. And so many of them are probably doing it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a reminder to people to slow down enough to be authentic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.